All right. I apologize.
Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. 18 Wheels of Fury Trucker.
Yeah.
18 Wheeler Mother Trucker.
With chrome naked girl silhouettes on your mud flaps, you head out on the highway.
Looking for adventure. Mm-hmm.
You just left a small town where you banged some fat bitch in your sleeper cab.
Oh, God.
With a belly full of biscuits and gravy and a big hit of methamphetamines, you're fueled up.
You got a cool CB handle.
Sure, you're tough. That chrome death machine could easily kill that family next to you in the Honda Civic.
Oh, no.
So look out your window and watch the white trash flash. Mr. 18 Wheels of Fury Trucker, you may get a Woody, but it's when you're watching Smokey and the Bandit.
18 Wheeler Mother Trucker.
Man Cow's Morning Madhouse.
All right, Scott, we are on. Finally.
Well, hello.
Hello, sir. What was that about? Oh, now I got all kinds of microphone trouble. Okay, let's try it now.
Wow.
Yeah. Blog Talk is being kind to me again. Yeah.
Right.
Definitely. I got to tweet the show out. Take over, Scott. I got to write down what's up.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Hope everybody had a wonderful 4th of July.
Yes.
I'm sorry. it was, it's definitely been an unusual week around here. We had, I call it a short microburst on Wednesday afternoon, and then Thursday afternoon, we had a monsoon come through here. Pumping water for 36 hours straight. That's crazy. So, like I said, we went to Frankenmuth, watched the fireworks up there. That was nice. I got to see some UAW shirts. It was nice that I had a few people.
It was really cool. Let me get John on real quick. See if everything's working. John, you're on.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hello, sir.
Morning, John.
Morning, John. Morning? Did you say morning?
Good afternoon. Good evening.
What's John in China? Dad. He's not in China. Come on. Not morning. Carry on, Scott. When there's nobody talking, that's when you jump in, Scotty. Come on.
All right. Okay.
You've only been doing this show for 14 years.
John, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Grilling up some steaks. It's the first time I've had a chance to grill this weekend.
Oh, wow. And you didn't invite me. Thanks, John. I haven't had a steak in a long time.
It was an eventful weekend. My mother had a heart attack, so this is the first chance I had to actually do some grilling this weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, John.
Is she all right now?
Oh, good. Yeah, she's good. They found a blockage. They put a stent in. She's still a little bit sore, but for the most part, she's doing really, really well. She's getting around good and everything now, so.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I got an email, and as you know, everything, Scotty, has been screwed up on my computer, so I don't have it in front of me, but I can tell you it was from two emails from Chattanooga, and it was totally against the UAW. And, of course, one of them said, well, you will be blamed. The show will be blamed with other shows that are on because we don't, quack the same talk as the UAW. We're a little different. And they wanted to thank us for doing the show, and they listen in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we appreciate that. And the people in Texas sent me an email last week. letting us know that they're listening on the line. They've got it set. We used to do that too. Some guy has his transmitter that if you put it on a certain station on your FM radio, all the way down the line, it plays the same thing. And they did it to our show back then at the truck plant on second shift, and that's what they're doing on second shift and first shift in Texas. And we want to thank them for that too.
Awesome. Scott. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to the people in Chattanooga, and you made your choice, and you know, that's your business. That wasn't our business. We got our own fight
right.
to fight.
I think that we have a monumental fight or undertaking on the horizon. It's going to start later this month. Actually, in a little over a week,
What's
I believe.
Going on?
With the contract talks coming up.
Oh, yeah. Let me get Joe on. Joe, you're on with us also. Go ahead,
all right.
Pat.
How you guys doing?
Morning, Joe.
Hey, Scotty.
Good evening. This is my third shifters. This is my morning, so I apologize. What I was saying was there are people, this actual individual is actually the senior editor for advancedmanufacturing.org, and he put a commentary out saying that this is unusual times right now with the auto sales kind of like slacking right now, slowing down, considering you've had 40 consecutive years of 17 million or more vehicles sold. Sedans are being crunched because gasoline prices are low, basically, you know, and the crossovers and trucks are selling well.
Right.
Detroit's basically giving up on the cars. There's very few exceptions. GM's ending, you know, production of 500 plants in the United States and Canada. And of course, you know, we know Lordstown. It's going to be sold to an electric vehicle startup. And then this guy still goes on to say, you know, let's all get coupled in with the UAW's legal trouble. Because you got former officials being guilty and the scandal, you know, going on there. And then for the second time, the UAW was up there for organizing the Volkswagen plant. And they said what happens is the UAW lacks positive momentum going into the talks with GM, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler. That's going to occurring this month. It's Kabuki Theater. That's where they had the virtual, I believe, right? July 15th and 16th. They have their big handshake and, you know, with the counterpart and everything and
right.
blah, blah, blah. But, with all that being said, this fellow here, he's around our world, but he's somebody that you wouldn't necessarily expect to put a commentary out about the plight of what the auto workers are about to face. And I found it was an interesting read. You can find it on Workers Workplace Convenience on Facebook. But I'm telling you what, this guy kind of hit right on the nose. You know, like John and I and Brian and Don and Jim and the late Richard Danzen said, you know, this year is going to be monumental as far as what we do. Jim Mattis called to arms, stand behind brother Brian Keller on Labor Day. We need to get, you know, or before. We got to put all our differences aside and stand together in this. I can't say evil. That's what I'd like to say. I don't know what to call it right now. But there's a plan. And if you look at it, they've let this out a little bit that they want to go after some health care costs and that they want to hire more temporaries.
Right.
Well, if you hire more temporaries, that offsets your overhead by 50% for every temporary you hire.
That's right off the get-go. Yeah.
And Don and I and John, we all know that the only way to make sure to really make money is by cutting manpower. That's all they've been able to do. And this time around, they cut some of their management folks. And now Ford's doing the same thing. Ford's got nearly 12,000 jobs across the ocean.
Scotty.
So it's getting there. Yeah.
Let me interject something here. The more people they hire under the UAW banner, the more people are going to get to vote for this contract. And when they offer a $10,000, $8,000, whatever bonus, if the contract passes, those people are going to vote yes on the contract. You know that. I know that. And there's going to be some seniority workers that also are going to vote yes, just like they did the last time.
Right.
So we're screwed
right.
Whichever way we go, in my opinion.
So, no. Before I let John get in there and Joe say that, I'm going to say you're right. That's the trail I was going down with. And I don't think I can really call it evil. But what happens, I can see the plan that's going on here. They laid the groundwork for the last three contracts coming to this one. And
yeah.
We know that they want to get more temporaries. I agree to 100%. And I believe if you're temporary, look, we love you. Brother and sister, we love you. And I believe that if whatever facility you're at, if you're working 40 hours a week, they should hire you. You shouldn't have a temporary status. You should be hired. And so I'm going to recommend that you vote no on an upcoming national contract. Here's why. To the temporary workers and to the tier two workers in progression, look at your contracts. You'll never make what John and I or Don made when he was working. The contract clearly spells out you will top out at $28 an hour. Period. So the temporaries, you are being used as a pawn in this game. And if you allow yourself to be used in such a way, not only will you lose, all your brothers and sisters around you will lose also. John?
All right, I want to take advantage of that pause there to say something before I get off the line. Donnie, it's pretty good that you got email from Chattanooga. It shows that your show is making some sort of impact over there, and then who knows, maybe you might inspire some people to, go a little bit further. And after that, what I want to say is I went to YouTube and I took a look at Face in the Crowd. They don't have the full movie up, but they have some episodes and some scenes. So I'm going to take a further look at it, and what I have seen, it seems like Andy Griffith is doing a good job.
Yeah, it's a different role, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they're trying to make that movie, that character, into Trump. There was somebody, I hadn't read the comments, but there was a video about Trump and the similarity between him and the character Griffith played.
Oh.
Well, because Griffith is supposed to be a con man with charisma, and here's, that's the rap against Trump.
Right.
All right, so I just wanted to get on the show to tell you that, and then I heard about the email from Chattanooga, so that's good, too. So I'll let you guys get back to your discussion, and I'll see you probably next Saturday.
All right. Be looking for a show at 9 o'clock during the week. I'll give you something, so look for us.
Okay,
if
same
you
time?
Can. Yeah, 9 o'clock.
All right, I'll see you. All right, take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, Brother Joe. And anyway, we were talking about that last night, and I didn't know they were comparing that with Trump. So go back to your discussion, guys.
Okay. Well, I just think that the Temps are going to be used as a pawn in this whole chess game. I really do. And I'm hoping that they don't allow themselves to be blinded by signing bonuses. That's where I stand on this. I mean, John had a list of things why not to vote for a contract, and it's a great list. It's a rule. It's a good guide. It's the only guide you should be using. But they're gonna sweeten the pot by trying to use the temporaries to get this contract passed through.
Yeah.
You watch how many people they hire between now and September. It's gonna be a big hiring push.
As far as the Chattanooga folks, I don't blame them at all for their decision. I'm glad the majority of them came out and raised their voice to vote. That's the most important thing. It is hard. I was talking with the folks from Auto Caravan earlier today, and there was a member from down in Tennessee, and that member shared some of the comments and things that they had heard from down there. And it was very, very similar to like we were kind of assuming that it's hard to talk somebody into joining an organization that is in the news for corruption. Why are you going to join a house when the house is dirty, right?
Right.
Again, I don't blame the folks. I will always support the UAW. I'm not looking to hurt or collapse our union in any way, shape, or form. We are better with a union than without one. With that being said, for the contract, Chrysler did a dirty thing the last contract. They threw out that signing bonus, and there were several newer members in our plant that voted for that contract, and they didn't see a dime of the signing bonus. They were cheated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So let that be a warning to any of the new hires and or temporaries. They may try to talk you into throwing out a bonus and try to talk you into voting for the contract, saying, oh, this is going to be good for you. And then they'll turn around and stick it to you.
Right.
Because they don't put everything, all the fine print in the highlights. So be careful, be very wary of that. They're going to use a lot of tactics, both in the media and our international, to try to sway our votes and trying to divide us. One of the big ones will be to call us out as individuals and tell us that you got to vote what's best for you. Well, when they say that, they're not telling you that what's best for you is what's best for all of us. Because
right.
If we all don't win, we all lose, period. You might think that you're getting something now, but in the long run, that's what matters. What happens down the road during the entire term of the contract? It's not just about a quick signing bonus that is here and gone. What about the rest of the contract? How many people with this crazy attendance policy and different interpretations at different plants have been jerked around and screwed around over this crazy attendance policy that we have? These work rules, some of them are just ludicrous. For example, the one that they snuck in for Chrysler, and from the sound of it, it sounds like they're doing it at General Motors and Ford as well. The International bargained away the proper way to do time studies and allows them to do time studies that cheat, that don't take into account the travel into your station. Because ergonomically, right, in order to be able to work safely, the work is supposed to be in front of you. You're not supposed to be bending towards the engine as it's coming in. You're looking for an injury. You're going to get hurt, especially the older you get. You might not feel it when you're young, but trust me, when you get older, you're going to feel it.
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
So International bargained that away so they can cheat on their time studies, and they're speeding up the line. And back in the good old days, that would have been a line speed up, never, ever would have been allowed.
No.
So the fine print that we have to pay attention to, long term, those goodies that they throw out, it's just a distraction. It's to get you to bite. And they're going to try to divide.
Yeah. It's sugar coating. It's sugar coating on a shit sandwich, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And usually, the sweeter the deal looks up front, usually the worse you get in the rear.
That's right. That's right. I absolutely agree.
He is going to be communication and the sharing of actual, factual, truthful knowledge. Things that we know, like their dirty tactics. They're going to try. There'll be more news media stories coming out about how great the auto industry, Big Three, are doing in reinvesting into America. But then they don't tell you that as soon as we sign that contract, they turn around and they lay off 500 to 1,500 workers.
Right.
So those tricks we got to talk about, share that knowledge. We can't pay attention to that sort of thing. It's a game that they're playing. Just like fishing, they're trying to jiggle that lure and make it all enticing for us to bite, and as soon as we do, whoop, we're done.
I agree. You know, Tom Laney had a sentiment that I'm gonna steal, or a thought, I guess, a sentiment, is that the truth that real unions are built on the friendships of ordinary workers and their desire to support each other as much as they can. I like that sentiment. A lot of truth in that. Did you catch that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, back when Don hired in, the old-timers, even when I hired in, the old-timers kind of watched out for the newbies. So once we got our 90 days in, then they started to teach us or school us. But if they saw management taking advantage of you, it was people like Don and people like me with the new people who were hired in. We would sometimes talk to the supervisors about their actions. You know what I mean?
So, yep.
That's disappearing, but with the level of corruptness that been exposed and it's not done yet. This commentator had makes a lot of sense. That's perilous times. It's like, well, wait a minute. The one thought that this editor missed in this whole article was, you're just talking about the leadership. You're not talking about the whole union. The union is the members. We have a problem with our leadership. It's not with the union itself. It's with the leadership. And people have to learn to divide that, because you, I, Don, and all retirees, we are the UAW. The people who have not exercised the best of judgment down at Solidarity House, they are a problem twofold. They are a problem to management, and they are now a problem to the members. The true members, not the yum-yums, the gobs, the appointees, the people that swear their blind allegiance at no cost to these people. I'm talking about the normal working man and woman, the Harry and Henrietta Hubcap, okay? And that's the union. And Don, was that... That's been 5 years ago now, right? When they did the Volkswagen vote, first one?
Was it 5 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago, yeah. Yeah.
Now, absolutely. If I remember, and I'm trying to put my thinking cap on here real tight with a double ball. If I remember right, didn't Dick Danjen pull basically what they wanted to present as a contract? If I remember right, didn't they already have I'm trying to think of the word. It was like a predetermined collective agreement. Remember that?
Yeah.
He broke that down. We did that in 2 weeks. It took us 2 weeks to break that down. And he broke that thing down piece by piece and how that they wanted to facilitate that going forward. And what happened was that next national contract we had, if you went back into the white pages, you found that they wanted to do similar, not a work council, but a similar hierarchy of a work council. And in this last contract, if you look at GMS that Dick Angel was talking about, the language in the highlights, it tells you the breakdown, and that is the work council. Now, when these people and I can remember we had a husband and wife, and we had some other people from Volkswagen communicating to the show through various aspects, various avenues. And they were concerned after hearing some of what they've been talking about, and that's not what the UAW was telling these people. All they would tell them then was, you'll have a voice. Remember, you'll have a voice. And somebody asked them, well, we've already got a voice. What about our pay? What about our vacation? What about what we got right now? Are we going to lose it, just keep it? And they would not answer them. And to me, if you're doing a sale, that's a pretty poor salesperson that can't answer your questions. You know what I mean? So, and there was outside involvement back then. We had Corker. Remember old Butthead Corker was in there, and he was bad-mouthed the UAW. You know, he already had a big General Motors facility in his state. There was other things going on. And what happens is, outside of where we're at as far as the media influence, other people's opinions, and I'm not saying they're right or wrong or indifferent, other people's opinions, but when it comes down to when we talk to the actual workers at Volkswagen and what they wanted to hear and what they weren't hearing, that was the truth. And so I've been kind of following on social media, a lot of discussion, about Volkswagen, all the outside influence. That's like, you know what? That's just an excuse. UAW lost the second vote for a reason. And that's what we need to find out. What was it that they were not telling these people to help them out? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Just a thought. I remember Dick pulled that thing, that contract apart that they wanted to have them as soon as they voted in. Remember, they had a contract. And when he pulled that thing apart, it wasn't very nice. It really wasn't. Pretty mean, I think. But anyway, so, you know, there's a lot of outside things looking in right now. It looks bad for our members because of some of the decisions the leadership has made. And like John probably say, you know, there's 11 good reasons why not to vote yes on this contract. Not sure, gotta be one of the top ones would be no more tears.
Hey, Scotty.
Right.
I just got an email from Paul Wagner from Chattanooga, who's listening right now, by the way. He said, "Hello, this is a worker." Oh, let me read it. "Hello, this is a worker from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for telling the truth about the UAW. My father was a UAW member 30 years ago in Detroit. He said when he was in the UAW, it was much different than now. He doesn't think they are for the workers or retirees. We down here don't want to pay union dues or dues to a union who doesn't take care of the workers, who let them close plants without doing anything. How could people vote for this UAW when the vice president is going to prison? Thanks, Don. John, Scott, Jim, we listen on the line on Monday. On the line Monday. But I'm sorry, Cinnamon brought me something to eat. I haven't ate yet. Thanks, Don, John, Scott, Jim. We listen on the line on Monday, but I listen on Sunday night. P.S. How about UAW raising prices on prescriptions? My dad has to pay a lot of his retirement for his meds. Thanks, UAW and Bebo. Proud non-union worker, Paul Wagner." Thank you, Paul. We're listening. Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Paul brings up a good point. The reason why we need to stand together, and there's rumors around Chrysler that they're going to offer a buyout for the folks with maybe 25, 26, 27 years, give them their full credit to try to sway them to vote for the contract.
Right.
But if we don't, eliminate the tiers, what could wind up happening, if you think to the future, what could wind up happening is if you don't support, if the older workers that are getting ready to retire don't support the younger workers with equality and helping get rid of these tiers.
Right.
I know you want your retirement, but what happens down the road when these poor guys are still getting the shaft and you're not getting any more raises? They've cut all your raises. You're not getting nothing like the retirees have been getting. Costs keep going up. Just like his father's prescriptions, like Paul's dad's prescriptions, keep going up, coverage goes down, all of a sudden, you're out of money. Yeah, you got to retire, but what has it got you? You need to support the young folks, so the young folks in turn say, hey, our retirees stood with us and fought for us. We need to fight for them. So when time comes, when you do need better coverage, you need increases in your pension because of rising costs. It's the young members that are going to be fighting for you.
That's
so
right.
If you don't fight for them, what are the chances of them fighting for you in the future?
True.
That's important. That's another example that shows that we're all tied together and that we all win when we support one another.
Right.
Because if we don't, it breaks down. That's not the union. The union is standing together, supporting each other for the betterment from now into the future.
Right. Amen. Right. And I can attest to the prescriptions going up, and I can also attest that they will not pay for some of the prescriptions my doctor has ordered for me. So I have to get another brand or whatever the hell it is, another kind of prescription. And that's happened 3 times. And every time they come out with a list, there's another prescription that they will not pay for anymore. So I know what you're talking about, Paul.
Yep, and that's sad, because on top of that, I have to think there's 9 regions, and those regional directors and the vice president of the UAW, Solidarity House, they all get between $28,000 and $29,000. Being an honorary member on the VBA board. That's uncalled for. Absolutely uncalled for. That's taken away from the retirees and the future retirees who are going to be enrolled into the VBA. Now, it may not be a lot, but, I don't know, I have to do the math. It's probably so close to, that's $600,000.
Yeah.
$600,000 a year that you could help offset the cost of health care on certain individuals that may not have to go to a generic or off-brand prescription that may not have the desired effect. Hell, that's happened to you, Don. Our doctor, put you on a medication. You tried the generic. And it didn't help you, right?
That's true.
So,
and now I have to pay that prescription's $80 a month. Just that one. So, yeah.
Right.
And then if you have to go through Express Scripts sometimes, it's all screwed up because they won't let you order until you're a day or two before you're out. And at least this is my experience. And it never gets to your house till you're already out of the medication you're supposed to be taking every day. So that's another scam we're involved in. But I scam them. When I go to my doctor, he writes a prescription every month, so it's a new prescription every month. So they can't do. They haven't done anything to me yet. So
right.
That's how I get away with what I get away with, because I don't like Express Scripts. I like my little hometown pharmacy that's been there for 100 years, and that's who I do business
right.
with.
You know, on a positive note, these ribeye steaks that I cooked on the charcoal grill with some smoking mesquite wood chips are perfect medium rare, and they are amazing.
Smart ass.
tell me, you have a cold beverage in hand with that.
I absolutely do.
Well, that figures. Now they're going to call you an alcoholic. You know that, right?
Yeah, but it's Union Beer. It's Miller Lite.
There you go. Yeah, they can't say much. Awesome. John, if you want to get off, we're only going to go an hour tonight. So if you'd like to get off right now and enjoy that steak, you can do that without us yelling at you.
I'm going to keep listening.
Okay, sir.
All righty.
John's enjoying it, and that's awesome. I haven't had a steak in, I hope he understands this, in 4 years. So when he brags about his steaks, it doesn't make me like him any better, okay? Put it that way. No, no, no. All right. Go ahead, Scotty.
Well, I'm just thinking, Don. I mean, between the whole time that you work with General Motors, the time I work with General Motors, you know, we've seen a lot of things happen. We've seen some good things come. We've seen some good things go. We've seen a lot of bad things happen more than we have good.
Yeah.
Every time, right down
from somebody that shot himself in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. And since 1985, E2, yes, was the concessionary contract. But from 1985 on, we have lost something major that the forefathers, our moms, our dads, our grandmas, our grandpas had fought for in previous years that were UAW members, whether they worked at Ford, General Motors, or Chrysler. We've lost that. And in the meantime, we're not going to lose it. It is the UAW leadership that is losing on behalf of us also because of their unwillingness to have that fight and get caught up with corruption and money and the power. It's evident because the last two constitutional conventions, they give themselves raises. This time, this last convention, they give themselves, I believe, two raises over the 4 years, which is unprecedented. You know, why go just for one if I can get two, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm just thinking, everything that we have in the past that we've lost going forward, I'm pretty sure I can see it now. I really can. Put those different colored glasses on, as Dan would say, and look at it. All right, let's do some systems thinking on this, okay? By which means are they going to do this? Well, we know which means they're going to do this. They're going to use their manpower, okay? We know what their plan is, what their goal is, and I'm telling you, they're going to use these temporaries, mark my words, to try to push this contract through, exactly like you and John said, and offer a huge signing bonus.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to want you to fight this baited hook hard. And I'm going to tell you what, you bite that hook, they're going to set that hook so hard it's going to knock your eyeballs out. You hear me? I mean, you're going to drive that point home. Now, everything we've talked about on the show for the last 14 years, everything you hear Jim Mattis talk about, Brian Keller talk about, and John, and Marty, and Mary Springkowski, who we haven't heard of for a while, who's in her own little flight right now. All these other people, and Jeff Brown, okay? All the other people that work at different facilities that we know about, and the people like Paul down in Chattanooga, we have the exact same expectation we do as Paul did. Paul had some experience growing up. He knew what unionism was about, and it wasn't his dad's union. I mean, paraphrase it, right? That's your father's overkill. It's not your daddy's UAW. My dad hired it in 1968. My dad went through two national strikes, and they had a wildcat in Kalamazoo. And
wow.
Even back, I'm going to say, it was early 70s. They walked through, the Cubanian walked through, and they tapped these guys who went down the press line. And that, there's all hand presses, you know. So you had one, two, press number one, two, three, four, five, six, whatever, you know, if you're a major line. And you may have four
right.
or five small presses on a small conventional line. I mean, and all the parts were on a conveyor belt, and it was either you loaded into the die and hit the hand buttons, or there was a partner across the belt with a big body panel like a dive can attest to. Those old quarter panels for a 1979 Monte Carlo, you know, or a 1972
yeah.
Monte Carlo. Great big old body panel. Every two of you load these things into die and hit your buttons together. These guys walk down the line, they tap them on the shoulder, and they point towards the door. We're walking, boys. We're walking. I'm going to say what? Them guys sit there, and they were decent enough to turn off the equipment. As far as conveyor belts and stuff, you know what I mean? But they walked. And they walked, and when they got out there, they were heading out the door. The press was there. They were taking pictures of these guys walking off the job. And, of course, you know, they fired the first few guys out the door.
Oh, yeah.
They got them all back, of course. But you know what? My dad said, and it's always stuck with me. My dad said, nobody stayed behind. They knew what was at stake. They
right.
knew what was going to happen. They knew it was going to be a rough road. Because they knew as soon as they walked out, not only are you going to have regional involved, somebody from Solidarity House is going to have to come out from Detroit to Kalamazoo to
That's
find
right.
out what pissed these guys off so much that they couldn't handle it at a local or regional.
They would
right.
risk their jobs. So something
exactly.
must be really important to them.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know, Scotty,
what happened,
it's a different time. Even before I retired, I could see that there's no fight in these people. They just go along. Dick Danjen said, you never vote for somebody that's in office already to go to the convention. So what did we do? We, you know, they vote for Johnny Jackson as vice president to go to the convention. Well, what do you think he's going to vote for? He's going to go vote for whatever they tell him to vote for. And so are the
right.
rest of these people. These people don't have any fight in them, Scott. Not when I hired in. We fought for things, and we knew when we went out on a 1-2 day strike, it was a phony strike. It was
yep.
phony. It was bullshit. We knew
yep.
it.
Well, Dad,
yeah,
those reps that get elected to go to the Constitution.
Yeah.
This was an issue at my unit for a short time until I got wind of it, and then I spread it everywhere. But they don't always let the membership know at the locals when the elections are for the Constitutional Convention.
Wow. I don't know if we had that problem. Scotty, you
no.
would know more about it than me. You ran.
No, they've always put it out there. They've been diligent about posting when elections are. This last time they had a redistrict. I don't know if somebody has called for an election yet. A mix. What I dare say is some turmoil at our plant. That thing which I talked to you about privately, Don.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I haven't heard much anything, but there's been some talks behind. I'll have to call you after the show and tell you something. You might find interesting. But As far as calling for elections, they've been pretty good about doing it. There's been one time since I've been doing this show that I've had to write a letter to call for an election. And that's as easy as writing to your local president and having him to call for an election. Check your bylaws. Local bylaws are different. All the bylaws are agreed to upon from regional and Solidarity House, and are also given copies to the Labor Department. Labor Department also is entitled to see all of our national contracts before they are presented to make sure there's nothing illegal in them. A lot of people don't know that. So the Labor Department says that if you vote this national contract in, it's considered legal and binding. Okay, if it's legal and binding, and you go against the contract, there's two parties that agreed on this, and one party breaks the contract, what are we supposed to do? Well, like Don said, if you had a little fight in your belly, we'd had a strike. And I talked about Lordstown. And what's the transmission plant in down by Detroit?
Amtramck.
No, they did close Amtramck. They kept them open through 2020, I think. There's a transmission plant. I want to say Wixom. Maybe that is Wixom. There's a transmission plant down there, and they decided to close that early. It's like that went against the contractual language that the two parties signed. So what do? We're going to sue them. We're not going to strike. We're going to sue them. So, with that being said, you know, that's the mentality that you're dealing with. But, folks, it doesn't surprise John. It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise Don. It doesn't surprise anybody with a little bit of common sense that it doesn't surprise us, because when the acting president that we have now, before he was president, was whining and dining folks for months on end in California on the members' dime, no less. You see where I'm going with that, Don?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Scott, you got about 30 seconds to wrap it up, unless we go overtime.
Okay. All right. Nope, we're good. Hey, we'll pick this up next week. I think there's a lot of food for thought. We're back. And re-listen to this podcast and digest that a little bit. We'll pick it up next week, Don.
Oh, would that be fine?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We got 10 seconds. On behalf of John and Scott and myself, have a safe week. Thank you for listening to the UAW Factory Whistle Show. We'll be back next Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.